you kick down walls. And anyone who tells you you can't, you take your fears, your insecurities, your worries, you roll them all up into a ball, you turn those some bitches sideways and stick them straight up their candy ass.
Pick your goal and stick fucking to it, you wishy-washy motherfuckers. I can't fucking stand you.
I wanted to make sure that out of the 24 hours of the day, that I don't waste one single hour. Those hours were too precious. And so there I just want to tell people, don't give me this thing, I have a difficult time with the time and I don't have time for this and I don't have that. You have time. You make the time.
And now, welcome to the Be Informed Live Fit Podcast, sponsored by FitnessInformant.com. And he kill it while you sitting down, bitch, about how I triple my fan base, man, worth bench. Can't say
all right, guys, what's going on? Welcome inside the Be Informed Live Fit Podcast. I am your host, Fitness Informant founder, CEO, Ryan Buck. I want to thank you guys for stopping by to checking out this awesome podcast today with the people behind the brand of Sparta Nutrition. Now, a lot of people listening to this podcast or watching via YouTube maybe have tried Sparta Nutrition, whether it was Crockin, their OG pre-workout that put them on the map, or their new tasty-as-fuck protein powders, which are in the market today and selling like crazy. But you might not know who the people behind the brand are. And in fact, not many people do. I've been friends with Mo and Mustafa for about 2 years now. And this is the first time that we actually met. And by met, I mean I actually went out to Wayne, New Jersey last week for a full FI East Coast appreciation tour. And their location was the first location I went to on Monday in Wayne, New Jersey. And I'll tell you this, it was a good way to start the trip, a good way to kick off my FI appreciation tour, stopping out at the Sparta HQ in Wayne, New Jersey. They have a very nice headquarters that they're actually building up and building out for them and their staff. And their story is told here today on the Be Informed Live Fit podcast. It's interesting because every CEO has some kind of story, right? And it typically starts within a basement or in a garage of some sort, especially in this business. And theirs is very similar to that, but it was really an idea that stemmed, and you're going to hear them talk about it, from working at a nutritional supplement store, an idea that stemmed from the mind of Mo, who's the younger brother of Mustafa, and actually who both are the younger brothers of Moby, who will be on next week. Now, Moby is the owner of Olympus Labs, so it's kind of unique how this whole family is involved in the sports nutrition business of one way, shape, or another, but there's Sparta Nutrition is today. So Mo and Mustafa are going to discuss the beginnings of Sparta Nutrition, because if you remember, Sparta Nutrition didn't start out as a more soft brand than it is today. And I say soft brand because it's more geared towards everybody. When they started out with hardcore supplements, DMHA pre-workout, Andros, a lot of things that they don't do today. And that's what a lot of supplement companies do. Sometimes they break onto the scene doing some hardcore stuff, and then they change their tune, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And now today, they're killing it. They're in GNC and absolutely smashing it. They talk about some of the stockout issues that they've had at SpartaNutrition.com and within the business and how it's actually impacted the business in a negative way and what they've learned from that. So really, today's podcast is more or less the story behind Sparta Nutrition, what they've learned as they've been in business, and what they plan doing moving forward, because they have some really cool stuff planned for 2019, some stuff that you haven't seen before in the industry. And I got a chance to see everything. I can't discuss it. I can't disclose it. But all these details will come out, and I'm fairly certain that they're going to come out soon. So I really, really, I hope that you guys enjoy this podcast with both Mo and Mustafa. This week's Pumped Up segment of the week is being brought to you by Built Fast Formula's award-winning VasoBlitz Pump Igniter. Not only is VasoBlitz the winner of the 2018 Shield of Excellence Supplement Award for Best Pump Product, it is also the first nitrate formula fully disclosed with 30 servings, not scoops. When VasoBlitz is consumed daily, even on your off days, it will last you a full month. All this for $34.99. And as a special offer to the listening audience, use coupon code INFORMANT to save 15%. Guys, girls, I'm fucking pumped up about my trip out east. It was just an unbelievable trip. I flew in to EWR, which is Newark International Airport, on Monday from Minneapolis. I landed about 10:45, grabbed my rental car, and immediately headed over to Wayne, New Jersey, as I mentioned here in the opening. I spent Monday with Sparta Nutrition. Then I drove down south to Edison/New Brunswick and met with Moby from Olympus Labs on Tuesday. So two brands in 2 days. Then I drove across basically through New York City. I took the Brooklyn Bridge, or not the Brooklyn Bridge, the George Washington Bridge, etc. Or excuse me, $15 to cross that fucking thing, by the way, if you've never done it. Drove through New York City around Manhattan, over to Long Island, to where this is. And if you're watching on YouTube, you can see I went to Bev's Francis's Powerhouse Gym, which was amazing. I actually stayed in that town. It's near Jericho. I stayed near that because I was going to Muscle Sport on Wednesday. So Tuesday, I stayed near Bev Francis's. I met up with Greg Helton, the CMO, the chief marketing officer of Muscle Sport, who will be on this podcast here in a couple weeks. And we got a killer workout in. We did shoulders at Bev's. And Bev's is a historic landmark of a gym within the United States and the world. I would say when you think about some of the most important and some of the most popular and iconic gyms within America, you have, obviously you have Gold's Gym, Venice Beach, right? Like that's probably the most iconic gym just because of where it's at and who's been there. But the East Coast Mecca, Bev's Powerhouse Gym is right up there at number two. And I like to check these things out. So that was amazing. I also went back Wednesday morning and smashed legs. So I did shoulders and legs at Bev Francis's Powerhouse Gym. Just an amazing gym. I can't wait to go back, which means I have to go back and see the guys and girls who are at Muscle Sport. So Wednesday, I spent the day at Muscle Sport. That was great. Met Jason for the first time, the CEO. Interesting enough, if you guys watch our IG story, the first thing I said to Jason is you need to improve your Lean Charms protein powder. That needs to be improved, the taste. You don't really necessarily start a conversation with a CEO that way, but you know, your boy did. And Jason, the man that he is, is actually tweaking the formula to improve the flavor on Lean Charms to make it taste more like the actual Lucky Charms that you and I are used to. So very cool to meet Jason. Jason actually bought me a book, sent it to me in the mail. I'm going to read here this week. I'm really excited about it as I want to start reading more as well. But then what I did that day is I left Muscle Sport at 5:30. Then I drove back through basically Staten Island, right around Manhattan, back over to Jersey, because on Thursday I was going to be with Nutribio, and I got back into my hotel room around like 9 o'clock. So it was a long day. And then Thursday morning I woke up, went over to the Nutribio HQ. They're actually ripping that apart, and they're redoing it into a pharmaceutical grade manufacturing facility, which was not done. I got to see, we did a walkthrough, we got to check everything out, looked really cool. But I'm going to be going back in 4 weeks to see the entire production, to cover the Natural Body Block Party, to hang out with the guys and girls over at Performix. So going back to New York here in about a month's time, for about a week again. And it's truly humbling and amazing that people actually are wanting me to come out. And then it's great. Friday morning, I got a chance to stay with Mark Glazer, CEO of Nutribio. Friday morning, we went over to Gold's Gym and then took a dive into the Atlantic Ocean before I came back home. So just an unbelievable trip, pumped up. I've received so much feedback and outpouring of support from brands, from people who loved what they saw that week. It was long, it was tiresome, but it was great. And I'm looking forward to going back to New York here in a couple weeks and covering some more ground. And we're only 2 months away from the Olympia. So we are very close to the Mr. Olympia competition, which is very, very different given the Sean Roden news that just came out here recently this week, which will be on the ticker here below. You guys can read. The Genius Moment of the Week is being brought to you by the Genius Brand. The Genius Brand offers high-quality supplements with scientifically proven, clinically dosed, all-natural ingredients. With a blatant disregard for profit margins, the Genius Brand focuses on creating innovative, industry-leading wellness supplements to help you live an active and healthy, long-lasting life. Supplement smart today. Check out full reviews and brand news over at fitnessinformant.com. The Genius Moment of the Week this week is based on cheat meals. Listen, if you're following a strict regimen when it comes to your diet, a cheat meal is actually something that I promote. I think it's good. Now, there's no such thing as a cheat day. Don't think that you should be cheating a full fucking day. No, your cheat meal should be like a burger and fries, maybe a couple slices of pizza, maybe it's pasta. That's good. It resets insulin response. It also gives you something as somebody who diets hardcore, something to look forward to and work for. So it does a lot. It releases dopamine levels. It makes you happy. Like, these are good things. It resets you. It motivates you. It gets you ready to go. So the concept of cheat meals is, don't think it's bad to cheat, but you can't do it every single day. A cheat meal should be like a once a week thing, once every 2 weeks, gives you something to look forward to, you know, put your calories in via carb, whatever it might be, but does not mean like 6 pints of ice cream, 10 Snickers, 20 bags of Skittles. Like, that's not it, right? If you're going to have a cheat meal, maybe it's a double cheeseburger and fries. Maybe it is, you know, 3 slices of pizza and some ranch dipping sauce, whatever it might be, right? That's the concept of a cheat meal. Cheat meal is actually good for you. Like I said, it can reset insulin responses. It actually can help out with metabolism. So there's a lot of good things that come with a cheat meal. You just need to do it in moderation, and you need to be smart about it. Listen, guys, I'm going to get off the track here and get this over to Mustafa and Mo from Sparta. You guys are going to really enjoy this. If it's your first time listening to the podcast and you enjoy what you hear, make sure you hit that subscribe button, whether you're listening via iTunes, Spotify, or watching via YouTube. Help us out by writing us a review. It helps out the algorithm so more people can discover the podcast, the Be Informed, Live Fit podcast, something that I'm super passionate about, something that's been going on for over a year. Next week, we have Moby from Olympus Labs on. So we filmed a bunch of podcasts out in New Jersey and New York that they're going to be coming here. There's four of them that we filmed live on site and in person. So you're going to see this. You're going to see the people behind the brands right here on the podcast. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media channels. Until then, here's Mo and Mustafa from Spartan Nutrition. Enjoy the show.
The BAR, Breakfast at the Ready, is finally here. The world's first protein bar made with real cereal pieces from some of your favorite cereals and the best cereals of all time. This bar has 20 grams of protein, only 20 grams of carbohydrates, with 5 of them coming from sugar, and 4 grams of fat, 190 delicious calories that you can fit in at any time. Any person can take this bar, man, woman, child, whether you're working out, you're training to build muscle, or you just need a healthy snack throughout the day, the BAR is your solution. Go to redcon1.com and order the BAR Breakfast at the Ready right now.
With the amount of hard work that I put in, I need a reputable brand.
I absolutely love this stuff.
The energy is amazing. The pumps are ridiculous. The flavor is absolutely delicious.
I was blown away by the amount of energy, the muscle pump.
It keeps me going throughout the day.
Take your workouts to the next level.
The energy was so crazy for me.
Really gives me the boost I'm needing in the morning.
You will train harder. You will see better pumps. You will go longer in the gym.
The quality of the ingredients makes a difference.
Try Rise, you're gonna love it, I guarantee it.
Their products are top of the range, and I'm very proud to be a part of Team Rise.
For the last two decades, we have been the best kept secret of the supplement industry. We've kept our heads down and worked. We pioneered full label transparency and full therapeutic doses because we believe that truly hard work requires truly effective tools. 2 decades is a long time to commit to one pursuit, but when you act with purpose and become centered in yourself, eventually you realize that you were born and bred for this. The things you once thought impossible, you now do every day. We don't like the easy way, it just doesn't feel right. We'll take the long, hard road over a shortcut any day. It takes longer, sure, but in the end, you know you earned it. And with the right team behind you, pushing yourself further than you've ever been will be just another afternoon doing what you love most.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome inside the Be Informed, Live Fit podcast. On location in the Garden State, the beautiful Garden State, right here in Wayne, New Jersey, of all places. Most of you probably don't know where Wayne, New Jersey is, and I only know it because I used to have an office that was in this location, but it's beautiful. It's beautiful like this man right here and this gentleman right here. We're with the owners of Spartan Nutrition, two men that maybe a lot of people haven't seen before or met before, so I'm stoked about this. What's up, guys?
What's going on, Ryan?
You got to talk in the mic though, right? It's not a clusterfuck situation. It's to see how well these two brothers can actually get along.
Oh, it's gonna be over pretty quickly then.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. All right, guys. So as you can see, I'm drinking out of a cup. So I'm not gonna tell you what it is, but these are, can I say new products? Right, new unreleased products coming out from the brand, probably later this year. Delicious, by the way. So I'm not gonna go into
colors, no sweeteners, all natural.
All natural.
All natural, baby.
So it's cool. And I also, before this podcast, I tried a different product, which is also, I posted on our IG story, delicious as well. So these guys are working on some really cool stuff. I'm excited to get you guys on the podcast, talk more about the history, the behind the scenes stuff, because I think a lot of people understand Spartan Nutrition. They've seen Spartan Nutrition. You guys have really good social presence. You guys didn't start out as the Spartan that we know today. Like, you totally different brand. If we rewind, what, 3 years ago?
3 years ago, yeah.
At this point, hardcore brand, like legit hardcore brand. I mean, you guys had DMHA based pre-workout. You had muscle building stacks, and you've since rebranded, but bring me through the idea to start this brand, because we were talking before the camera a little bit here. It kind of was like you two coming together, both young entrepreneurs wanting to start a brand within the space because you had some experience in the space, and boom, here's Spartan Nutrition.
Yeah, I mean, the brand was really conceived from the idea of being different. We've both been in the industry, well, we started in the industry some time. My situation out of compulsion, our dad opened up a store for us, a retail store, mostly for my brothers, actually. And I was just a kid that ended up working the weekends. Mustafa used to be like 260, 265, and was really, really into heavy bodybuilding. And I'm sure you can go more into depth about that. But my role was really just working the weekends and used to play football and lacrosse. And I was just, you know, helping the family store out whenever they want to go out and party.
Basically, when we first opened the store, I was 17 years old, and my older brother was 18. Mo over here is only 21 right now, but he looks like he's 30.
Right.
So just imagine how old he looked when he was 10, when we had the store.
A little bit older than Ryan, for sure.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit taller.
Yeah. So me and my older brother wanted to go out on the weekends and go out and have some fun, just like any young, you know, kids. And we made Mo over here, who was 10 years old, who looked like he was 16, 17, work at the store on the weekends, and he learned supplements at a young age. So for the record, Mo is only 21 years old. When we started Sparta, he was, I believe, 18 years old.
I was 17.
17 turning 18, I believe. So yeah. I think he's the youngest CEO in this industry.
Yeah.
For sure.
So definitely not a lot of experience in the game like a lot of other players out there. But we come from a pretty diversified background. So we started up in retail. We quickly got into Amazon right when Amazon was starting to really boom with sports nutrition, health and wellness. A lot more of the hardcore side of the industry.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we got into it. We built a lot of vendor relationships more so than anything, distribution. We kind of found out that we were getting gypped by the franchise operators that we were with a small local franchise here in Jersey. We got into e-com, crushed on Amazon, built out a website, and really understood the digital marketing end of it, specifically in that day, and SEO more so than anything.
Right.
Really learned that end of the industry. Developed a relationship with a manufacturer who we later ended up selling the business off to. Can't say the name for NDA reasons.
Right.
And we really started Spartan Nutrition 6 months after we sold that operation off for a couple reasons. I was just in college, just in my freshman year of high school. Mustafa shifted off into finance and he was on Wall Street. And the brand idea really started for me when I understood as I got older what goes into a supplement. The branding aspect and really transparency, because as you're in that age and you're learning different cultures and you're understanding what's going on within the world, you understand what you're putting into your body, right? So the whole concept of Sparta started for having something that was unique, innovative, and had a value proposition instead of being another product
right.
on the shelf. At that time and age, that was really all we knew. So the brand obviously started off with the hardcore prospect,
right.
And that's really where we were able to succeed. We had the DMHA pre-workout, we had the hardcore line, and we were really, really doing solid with that. I came to Mustafa, he invested into the brand, and quickly we became partners. He started crushing the international sales, and then before you knew it, the brand was really just growing faster than we could have ever thought B2B. Come a year and a half into it, we launched a protein SKU, which just changed the whole entire business for us. That led us to rebrand the whole entire brand, and since then, we have invested incredibly into the brand in terms of a digital ad spend and building the brand presence, retail distribution, partnerships, vendor agreements, and the brand has totally, totally transformed into something that was bigger than we could have initially ever thought of.
And mind you, this rebrand actually took 6 months for mm-hmm. us to do. So a lot of brands and a lot of people in the industry told us we were stupid to do something like that because you can inevitably fail, you know? And a lot of businesses would fail if they rebranded and literally just stopped business, stopped, you know, production and manufacturing. But for us, we were like, this brand doesn't represent us two
mm-hmm.
owners. You know, we're both brothers, we're both really vibrant and...
we're unique.
Definitely very unique.
Yeah, I mean, nobody meets the two of us, either individually or together, and they're like, those are two fellows that we're gonna forget. And I think that's a positive thing
sure.
at the end of the day.
Definitely, a very positive thing. We took a big risk to You know, rebrand, it took 6 months, like I said, and we came out with like 30 new products at the same time with the rebrand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a lot of other people said we were crazy for that too, but, you know, it's the best thing we ever did. So a lot of people ask, you know, how old is Sparta? I say 3 years, but I tell them 3 years and also less than a year, because, yeah, for the first 2.5 years, we were just one SKU or three SKUs. We had Hydrate, we had Hydra Shred and Kraken. But there were hardcore different formulas. Everything looked different. There was definitely nothing was uniform, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Everything looked like a different product, a different brand. So rebranded, came out with 30 new SKUs, came out with the Keto series, came out with a whole like colorful like two-tone look.
Yep.
But it represented us again.
Yeah.
I mean, we spent January to August rebranding, and like Mustafa said, we stopped issuing POs to manufacturing right around the middle of January. And mind you, we were pretty hot for a new brand, so at that time, whatever we were ordering was selling out extremely quickly. So I have to give a big shout out to our team, because every individual on the team believed in us and believed in what we were building and what we continue to build, because we have sale guys and sales commission rules all. They didn't have stock to sell for 2 to 3 months. We went through, you know, that transformation, that phase where we didn't have anything to sell because we were sold out.
Right.
And that's where the vision comes into play. That's where team building comes into play. And that's where everybody really believes in what you are building with the brand. And that's something that I have to give a significant shout out to every member of our team for, because they believed in it, and they sure as hell know August, we sold out very, very quickly. And that's a feat for the amount that we ordered. So I'm incredibly proud of not only what we had envisioned, but the team that we had built.
Right.
Yeah.
One thing too, I remember distinctly last summer, which is, this comes out, I mean, you're talking about August was the rebrand, is I'd seen some advanced labels that you were guys doing, you sent them to me. And one of the things you touched on is saying people said it was a risk. It was almost a risk if you guys didn't rebrand though too, because you were so, at that point, disconnected in SKUs from one to another. There was no family of products. And I was so happy when I saw the new design. And finally, like, Sparta's gonna have a brand, a real brand. It's gonna be a uniform look. You can tell on the shelf that they belong together. You have specialty SKUs like your Kraken Black, which is more of a, you know, more advanced pre-workout of some sorts. So I was stoked from it from a marketing standpoint. So I think it was the best decision you guys made. One thing I want to talk about, because it's prevalent and it's reality, is like stockout issues. We have it in the issue in this industry all the time. Like, how frustrating is it for you guys as business owners, because everything's hitting on all cylinders, and then you're hit with a stockout issue and you have to deal with that. So what do you learn from that first off, and like, how is it deflating at all in any, or is it more or less something you just have to embrace and learn from?
I think every business deals with stockout issues in, you know, some shape or form. You know, for us, the crazy thing is that, like my brother said, we came out with protein, and when we came out with the rebrand, we thought it was going to be 3 months worth of inventory, and we sold out in less than a month. So for us, you know, any entrepreneur is going to tell you business is a learning experience. Nobody goes into business being an expert in supply chain. They're not experts at, you know, all different aspects of the company. I always tell Mo too, like, I'm good at what I do. Mo's really good at what he does. But we're also not good at a lot of things too.
Right.
So that's why we hire talent that, you know, that fills the gaps, and, you know, people that are good at what they do. But the stockout issue, it's been a nonstop issue here at Sparta. You know, thanks to our loyal customers, we've been selling out like crazy. Like, we just came out with a flavor last month, like marshmallow cereal. We thought it was going to be enough for at least 2 months, right?
Yeah, I mean, we thought it would be a phenomenal limited time drop that would last like at least a good 6 to 8 weeks, right? Come the launch of it, we sold out in less than a week. And mind you, that was specifically triple what we would normally order of any single flavor of our top 5 SKUs. So selling out is a double-edged sword. It's a good thing and a bad thing. I wouldn't want to be in the position where we don't sell out because you just don't have a hot product. But at the same time, there's also that business side of it where you're losing the sales cycle on the shelf, where a consumer is going to go and use another protein, another pre-workout, and that sales cycle diminishes.
Right.
It's a marginal utility that diminishes, and as anybody that ever took economics 101 knows, that diminishing marginal utility is not the greatest thing in the world, because you're losing a sales cycle, you're losing a consumer, and when you multiply that over the longevity of your lifetime value, there's an inherent loss of value that your business suffers.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time though, when you have those stockouts, it also builds that sense of social proof in a way. Like when we launched in August of last year, we weren't expecting to get tens of thousands of comments on ad sets. We weren't expecting to hit 10 million views on one of our three ad sets that we're running. But that sense of social proof that you get when a product sells out, it kind of provides that notion that, wow, this is a great product. People trust it and they build loyalty to it. They're like, I want to sign up to the newsletter because I want to be notified when it's back in stock.
Yeah.
Albeit, when you sell out too consistently, it also affects your ability to service those loyal consumers
right.
and grow. So for us, it's not that we want to sell out. It's that when we forecast a quarter's worth of numbers and it sells out within 1 to 2 weeks because a retailer and you know, a newsletter drop will make a sell out within that time frame. It's a huge pat on the back, but it's also a learning lesson which we're trying to overcome, and I think we certainly have.
But it's a good problem to have.
100%, yeah.
Very good problem.
So for the consumers who get frustrated, because they do, ultimately you're going to have, right? You guys are feeling great because you sell out, but you know you're going to have those consumers that are going to say, where's my order? I've been waiting 3 weeks. We've all seen it. It's no fault of anybody's. It just happens. So, like, yeah. To those consumers, what do you say to them?
You know, honestly, we're just really blunt and honest with them. I'm not going to lie to you. Like 5 years ago, if you asked us on our e-com platforms what we'd say, we'd be like, yeah, it's on the way. And that's a learning lesson. That's where you lose the trust of the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
We understand honesty, so that's what we translate to our consumers. If a product is going to be 2 to 3 weeks out, we're not going to, you know, not test for heavy materials or give it 2 to 3 days after production to make sure that all the proper tests are done. We're going to take every proper step to make sure that they're getting the product that they've ordered in a time-efficient manner, but that also meets spec, that it follows regulations and rules and is properly tested.
For sure.
So we like to be blunt and upfront with our consumers. If they want a refund, we'll give them that. If it takes canceling the whole order and still sending it out, we'll do that because we believe in our products, and at the end of the day, you're nothing without your customers.
I can say this. I can vouch for these guys. We had a member in our self-made Barbell Brigade group, I think, suffer one of these stockout issues, and what you guys did is you fulfilled the order. Plus, he doubled it. Like, you gave him extra for him and his wife, and he just, like, sings your praises for it. So those are, like, little things that can go a long way on a digital platform. Sure, bad news can travel far, but good news should be able to travel far, too. And I think you guys did a really good job of handling that specific particular situation. But on a, you're not just a digital brand. I mean, you obviously are in brick and mortar. You have a lot going on. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about your backgrounds a little bit. Because as you hear these two speak, they sound very intelligent. They sound like they know what they're talking about when it comes to business or life in general. Like we talked before, you went to college, right? So, and what was your major in again?
So I have a degree in forensic accounting, but at the same time, I started my first business at 17.
Right.
So I've always been the kind of guy that knows what he's wanted in life. For high school, I went to a law and public safety academy. I graduated 1 year early. I went to college at the age of 17. So opened our first store. I was going to school. I got an internship on Wall Street at the same time, got a job on Wall Street. But all along at the same time, like Mo was saying, we had the store, we got into Amazon. You know, back in the days, you can sell anything on Amazon, even probably your family members. But, like, literally anything.
Right.
And then from there, we found out we're making so much more revenue and so much more business, and it really opened our eyes. Because our store was in a small town. The town, I think, was only a mile long in radius. But, you know, when you're selling on Amazon, you're selling to millions of people versus, what, like, 5,000 people in a small town or 10,000 people. We got into websites. I started going to Wall Street, like I said, started working on like investments, my financial advisors, you know, like Series 65. So, you know, we made some, you know, more businesses, all in the nutraceutical industry, filled some companies, succeeded some companies, filled some more, succeeded some more, just like any entrepreneur does.
Oh man, there's a lot of learning lessons. I must say one thing is that all the failures, all the failures were well worth it. I mean, I remember when we had the retail store, and some guy emailed in from Singapore, he wanted $10,000 worth of supplements, and then we were like, oh shit, this is like a great moment. That's phenomenal. That's
right.
A huge purchase order at that time frame. And he was like, yeah, you know what? We have a hard time getting iPhones here. Can you like throw in a couple of $100 worth of iPhones? And he wired over like Western Union over the money or something?
No, it was credit card. It was credit card fraud.
Yeah. So we were like, all right. And he was like, throw in another $2,000-$3,000 worth of iPhones. Well, unsuspectingly, we did it. Young kids never had a bad experience in this regard before. We did it, sent it off to Singapore, and turns out it was credit card fraud.
But it wasn't once either. It was three times.
Yeah, so three times $10,000, $30,000.
Jesus.
I mean, as you can imagine, at that time frame, that type of loss is crippling.
Yeah.
So it's those type of experiences countlessly over that shaped the trajectory of where we're going, because we know what to look out for now. We know how to run a CS team.
Mm.
We know how to build a call center. We know how to line out an innovation pipeline. We know how to hire and fire the right staff. We know how to build a team. But was it easy? No. Was it imminent? Was it overnight? No. It's literally 7 to 8 years of experience as good as men.
13 years.
Yeah.
I started this store when I was 17, and I'll be 30 in December.
It's been about 8 years for me.
Yeah.
And it's been right around that along the whole entire trip of just countless failures for us to get where we are today. I mean, I was in high school, and I had to download like the Zopim live chat app,
mm-hmm.
and I was chatting with customers while I was in like AP Chem, and everybody would be like, "What are you doing?" You know, and I'd just be like, "No, nothing. I'm just, you know, doing something." I'd go to the lunchroom every single day, and I'd run to the library to answer emails and print labels off a ship station. All individually. I mean, do you remember back in the retail stores, you used to get an order and used to go copy and paste, go to the stamps.com app, copy and paste every single customer's shipping address and print it all out individually?
It was stamps.com. We didn't have Zebra printers back then.
Yeah,
it was, we've actually dealt with everything in our own business. I remember even when we first started, like Sparta, you know, Mo and I would get international orders because we got big. So a lot of people get big in USA first, then internationally. For us, it was the opposite. We got big internationally first, and then we got big in the USA. So we definitely did it, you know, differently. And I remember when we used to get these big orders for pallets and stuff, you know, and this is why I tell people, a lot of people come up to us because Mo and I have, you know, invested in a lot of successful businesses now. I started an investment company 3-4 years ago, and we've gained so much experience. And when people come up to us for advice, we always tell people that a true CEO is a guy that does everything. A little bit of everything. I've seen CEOs of, you know, billion-dollar companies that can go and do janitorial duties. You know, they go in the bathroom and take the trash out.
I'll still clean the trash out in the bathroom if it's messy. 100%.
And those are the kind of things that we did. We literally did customer service for Sparta. We did the pallets. We did the shipping. We did the formulating. We literally even sweeped our warehouse at the end of the day. We did everything.
We still do that. We still do that. And that's the thing. I mean, when we first started the brand, it started in the basement. Just like any great company. And the issue was with starting a basement company is when you get your first delivery, you have to have a pallet.
Yeah.
At least we had a pallet come in, just 1 to 2 pallets. There's like 500 units of 2 flavors of Kraken. And we had to help the delivery guy push the pallet up the driveway because it's an upward slope.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to take, it was super hard. We had to unband the pallet in the garage and then carry it from the garage to the basement
right.
where we had the setup. And then you fast forward to our first office. All we could do at that point was about 200, 250 square feet of office, a little square room that housed like, what, 4 of us eventually. And it was all different 4 corners where you could basically touch each other with your arm, 4 different little desks in the corners, and about 2,000 square feet of warehouse. For the longest time, we didn't get a forklift.
Yeah.
I remember getting pallet orders for the first time. Mustafa's on the phone with FedEx organizing the trucking. Then I'd be putting the pallet together. Then he'd come in and do the pallet with me. Then I'd run in and help print out like the direct-to-consumer orders. You fast forward through the growth you have and you scale appropriately when you want your business to be there for the long term. A lot of people are in it for the short-term money and the short-term success. And it's a great industry to have that with. In this industry specifically, when you want to just have some quick cash. But when you're building a brand, what people fail to recognize is you have to take every single penny out and put it back in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do that, if you don't have a VC backing you up, if you don't have a financial interest from someone else, you have to do it that way. And it's painstakingly long, a lot of effort, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. But there is no other way you can build a brand without those type of moments in your life. 100%.
And fast forward 3 years now, Sparta Nutrition, you know, we're operating at a 30,000 square foot warehouse, you know.
That's just West Jordan, 20,000 in Atlanta too.
Yeah, so 40,000 square feet in warehouses, almost 5,000 pallets of product, and, you know, shipping tons and tons of orders on a daily basis, contracts with GNCs, the largest retailer for supplements in the country. And we have some really big news coming out with, you know, new launches into, you know, really big stores through GNC.
Yeah.
It's all because of our customers. And it really comes down to the sole fact that Sparta Nutrition is out there for the customer. You know, the full transparency is for the customer. It's
right.
for the consumer. I always tell people your body is the most important thing in the world, which is your health. So people should know what they're putting into the most important thing in the world. It's really important.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the reason why we came out with Sparta Nutrition. We got tired. We were doing really well. We had websites. We were doing really well selling other people's products. But, you know, for us, a lot of customers would ask us, what's in this product? And for us to tell customers, we don't know really because we didn't. It's a proprietary blend. A lot of companies were getting hit with, like, amino spiking. So we saw a gap in the market, and we wanted to come out with a solution with it. And that's exactly what we did.
A lot of people are probably wondering, listening to this, like, hearing a story starting in the basement and also getting, like, a 250-square-foot office. Like, very, I mean, you scaled your way up slowly, but smaller, bigger, bigger, bigger. And your first order was 500 units of two flavors of Kraken. How much money did you guys have when you started Sparta Nutrition? Like, how much did you put into the business? Because a lot of people will put in maybe 10,000 or 50,000. Or nowadays, like, if you really want to build a business right off the bat, you need like $150,000. But it doesn't sound like you guys started with $150,000 to start this brand.
Yeah. It was actually more than $150,000.
Not initially. Initially, it was like $5,000 to $10,000. And then.
Oh, so this is how it happened.
It's interesting.
Most started Sparta on his own. And I remember he borrowed money from my father, I believe. It was $10,000-$15,000, and he came out with two Kraken flavors. But I remember back then, Andros were pretty big, and Mo wanted to make like a BCAA product. So he came up to me when I first started, I think, my investment company, and I think he needed at least $250,000 around there.
It was right around $200,000.
$200,000. And
Mustafa, being a great older brother, gave it to me.
I literally wrote him a check, a personal check.
For $200K.
For $200,000.
But here's the thing. It came with a little asterisk at the end. So Mustafa got a percentage of the company.
Okay.
Because he believed in me.
Sure.
He saw it. I mean, at that point in time, I remember, you wouldn't really, Mustafa's not the type of guy to give compliments, but I know he really liked what people were saying about the products, and he did it because he saw that people were loving it, right? And I can't thank him enough for believing in that vision at that formative stage, because that is really what shaped the trajectory of today. If it wasn't for those developmental experiments coming out with Hydrate BCA, doing the Andros, it definitely wouldn't be where it is. And bringing Mustafa on to be a partner in this company, be equal partners together, has changed the entire landscape. There's a side of what I do which I think I'm good at. I don't think anybody's phenomenal at anything, because you learn every day. And there's just a totally opposite side in which my brother is phenomenal, and he is amazing at what he does, and I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he could do what I do. And I think that's what makes this such a perfect partnership. So if your brother came up to you and asked you for $200K, would you write that check?
Fuck no. No, not my brother. No, not a chance. not my brother, but that's just me.
Yeah. So why did you write that $200K check? That's not a small amount.
No, it's not. I mean, people listening to this podcast are lucky if they make $200K in 4 or 5 years, you know? That's a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, to save, I mean, the average savings account of an American, you know, is $5,000 to $10,000.
Yeah, or non-existent.
You know, it's because, you know, obviously I don't want to get into why, but it's hard. It's a lot of taxes.
Yeah.
You know, but I was lucky enough, like I said, I failed a lot. And maybe I had one success after 10 failures. And, you know, right around that time, I had a success and I sold a business and my brother came up to me. And my brother's always been really smart. So even though he was young, he's always been very mature. He's been very intelligent. He got featured, he did a study and he got featured for Harvard at the age of 17.
Very cool.
Yeah, I actually got accepted to every Ivy League except for Dartmouth. I will always remember that.
Dartmouth, if you're watching this, my brother doesn't like you.
We could have done things, Dartmouth. But I got accepted to Harvard, Columbia, Princeton. I wrote an article that's published at Princeton in high school. I have a pretty...
To be honest, the real reason I did it is because out of all the siblings, I've always been closest to my brother, and we've always been like best friends. It hasn't always been like that.
Sure.
Because we do have an 8-year difference. We're the two youngest in our family out of five.
Right.
But I'm 29 and he's 21. So, again, he's 21.
Single.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan is too sometimes.
So, you know, the cool thing about my brother is, like, he's, you know, complimented me and I really appreciate it. But he's only 21, and at the age of 18, he's formulated every product that we've ever made under Sparta Nutrition. A lot of these SKUs have been top rated. Kraken at one point was top rated. Hydro Shred. our protein has been rated number one on a couple platforms, not yours, but
hey, man,
it was for a good period of time, and I believe after meeting Ryan, it will be again.
We had a number one Kraken. We had number one BCAA product. I mean, you guys have done a really good job with your product formulations for sure.
You know, the thing is that with our protein coming out, our business has, you know, skyrocketed, and it's been hard to keep up with growth thanks to our, you know, customers and everything. You know, and we did lose focus on some of the energy business and some of the other business. And, you know, the pre-workouts and fat burners, you got to, you know, keep the hype going. So every year you should, you know, redo it. So we have some really big news coming out soon. Kraken is being reformulated. HydroShred is being reformulated.
New names.
I want everything to be organized.
Right.
You know, we're, you know, discontinuing some flavors. We're making new flavors. Kraken will be called Spartan Pre.
Spartan pre-workout.
Although Kraken, which is the OG hardcore version, we will be coming out with another one in the next 6 months, eight months, to pay homage basically to the hardcore market and everybody who's loved it. Because we've sold, Spartan Nutrition was not Spartan Nutrition the first year and a half. It was Kraken.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we sold a good amount of it. And you know, we definitely want to always pay homage to the loyal customers that built the brand to where it is.
So this is it. The new flavor is in production as we speak. We've been hyped about this for months, and the time is finally here. So let's go check it out. In here. This is it. Galaxy Burst. This flavor has a burst of candy with a hint of tart, leaving your taste buds begging for more. It's fruity and creamy, yet sweet and tangy. After months of testing and formulations, this galactic flavor is sure to take over the galaxy. Now let's give it a try. So good.
Hey, what are you doing?
Oh, time to go.
Working on a new flavor concept.
Could it be sticky toffee curd?
Bravado, are you ready, Bravado?
It's mail time!
Boom!
Chips Ahoy.
Chips Ahoy.
Chips Ahoy.
Legend Bowl. Chips Ahoy style.
Let's go!
Like, one thing I want to bring up too is we talked about earlier before we came on this podcast about some people come from privilege, right? Their money comes from parents, which is, if that's the life you're born into, great, good for you. Not the case in this situation. You guys, your parents came here from not America. You guys were born here, but, you know, people watching this podcast and seeing all of us around this table probably understand that that's the case. So where are your parents from? When did they come? And like, what did you guys take from mom and dad to implement into your careers and your work style to be able to build this brand to what it is today and build your empires?
So basically, our parents have been in America for 38 years, came from Pakistan, and our father, when he first came to America, he worked as a janitor, worked odd jobs until I guess he found a job at a pharmaceutical company, worked his way up, and he was a biochemist for 30 years now, 35 years?
35 years.
Yeah, he's actually the patent holder behind some of the big patent drugs like Vicomotrin, not Vicodin, but there's definitely some other ones.
Yeah.
And you know, what a lot of people don't understand is sometimes they look at me and my brother and they're like, we're privileged. But we're definitely not privileged in that sense.
The only thing you're privileged with is phenomenal hair.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Privileged with phenomenal hair, but also phenomenal parents.
Right.
That's what I would say. You know, for our father and our mother, for them to leave their siblings behind, their parents behind. They essentially sacrificed their lives, left everything behind to come to a foreign country, didn't speak the language really, didn't know anybody really except for maybe a few family members. And they worked odd jobs, even though my father had a degree in Pakistan, that degree didn't mean anything here in America.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, for him to raise five kids on a very undervalued salary because, again, the degrees didn't, you know, transfer over here, it was really for us. You know, a lot of kids, I feel like these days, they look past these kind of things, the sacrifices their parents make for their children. But, you know, there's five of us kids. We're all very family-oriented, love our parents. But I think Mo and I go above and beyond. We would do anything for them, everything for them. And it's one of the reasons why we made Sparta Nutrition. Our mother, brain aneurysm survivor, two brain aneurysms actually in the last 4 years. And, you know, once her aneurysm was over, she survived. She had to go to so many different doctors. A dietitian was one of them. They wanted to change her diet around completely. And, you know, supplements and vitamins was actually a part of that diet. And Mo and I already were, you know, had some businesses selling these things, and we just didn't feel confident. I think 4 years ago, some of the biggest brands in the industry were getting hit with amino spiking.
Yeah, that was definitely a big time for that.
And everything was about, you know, proprietary blends. So we always tell people that Sparta Nutrition is for my family and for yours. I would feel comfortable with my parents taking my products. We test everything, fully confident in it. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I wrote I call him Taz. So that was one of the reasons why I gave Mo that $200,000 check is because I care for my family.
Right.
And I know Mo's the kind of guy that's going to make this business into a huge business because family, again, is the end goal for us. We take care of our family in every way. We would do anything for them. Again, everything for them. And that's why we treat our employees like family as well.
Yeah, I mean, family is everything. I mean, I never went a day in my life growing up without wanting anything. If there was anything I wanted, I remember my dad just saying, "What is it?" And he'd go and get it for me. And I remember one story particularly when I was younger. He was telling me, he didn't speak much about his, like, you know, youth or growing up, and he came from like a hard place. He went to Germany from Pakistan and lived in Germany for a couple years doing some other odd jobs, kind of like just cementing himself and getting the foundation going. And he would tell me in between the jobs that he used to work, he used to go to university there as well for a little bit. The way he made it all work is during the night when he'd get back in between the jobs, he'd go to the bathroom, put the lid down on the toilet, take an ice bucket and dip his feet in there so that he could study in the textbook. And then from there, he'd be wide awake. He'd go to the other job, get ready to go to class and go to school and learn and obviously do what he needed to do.
And meanwhile, some of that money he was making from those jobs, he was sending it back to his parents.
Right.
Yeah.
Because again, my grandparents were literally one of the poorest places in Pakistan. I remember my dad is one of 13 siblings, a huge family. And my grandfather used to fix bicycles. And my grandmother didn't have a job. It was basically handling the 13 kids. So I remember my dad telling me once, and it was a true humbling experience. Their daily, like, allowance to run the household was equivalent to 50 cents.
Yeah.
50 cents to handle 13 kids. You know,
how do you feed them? How do you live life, you know? So
it was a completely humbling experience. You know, we're not mommy, daddy money for sure. We're definitely not privileged. Although we have nothing against those kind of people at all, you know? Privilege is,
it's just not who we are.
It's just not who we are. Everything Mo and I do is because of our parents, for our parents. And I feel like a lot of people grow up and they kind of forget what their parents have done for them.
Sure.
And they don't help them in any way. And they just kind of move out. They'll make money. They'll buy themselves mansions and leave their parents in the places that they raised them in, essentially. We're not like that.
I'm looking forward to, like, Mustafa just recently got married. So what I'm looking forward to is, like, when you have kids, these kids are now going to be born into some privilege. I mean, in your case, like, you have more money now, right? It'll be interesting to see how you parent in a role reversal now, right? Like, you're your parents, but you have way more than your mom and dad had. How do you teach the value of hard work, which I'm no doubt about it. I'm sure you both are going to do a great job of it. But have you thought about that as now maybe at some point a future parent, how you're going to teach these life lessons to mini-me's that are going to be coming at some point in the future?
I actually had this conversation with my brother, my parents, even my wife. And I want to raise my kids exactly the way I was raised. You know, my father, again, he had a lot more money working in USA than his parents did. And just like me, I might have more money than my parents did at that age. So it's a cycle, right? But you should never lose focus on what the variables were in that cycle.
Yeah,
so the way that I was raised, my dad gave me everything, but he told me to get a job at a young age so I can learn work ethic and the value of money.
Right.
And for me, I never want my children to think of money as a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to understand the value of a dollar, the value of work ethic. Although I might buy them their first car like my father did for me, which I will never stand for arrogance and looking down upon people. Mo and I are the kind of people, if we go to a restaurant and we see a waiter, we're not going to think of him as any less than us as human beings.
Right.
We don't judge people based on how much money they make or their social ranking, but we do judge people based on their personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And how you treat others.
And how you treat others. I've seen people who don't make so much treat people like shit. I've also met people who have a lot of money who treat people like shit.
Right.
So it doesn't come down to how much money you have, it just comes down to your personality.
Right.
So for my kids, the most important thing is their personality, the way that they look and value human beings. You know, they're going to get everything they want, just like I was given everything I want, but they're going to have to get a job at one point, and they're going to have to, whether it's working for me or working for somebody else, they're going to work for it. And same with college. Like, the way that our father raised us is we got college loans.
Mm-hmm.
My father could have helped us out. He co-signed them or whatever. He actually ended up paying them off for us, but he wanted us to understand that, listen, this is life. He was preparing us for the real world.
Right.
I didn't need college loans. I got full rides.
He got full rides. Yeah.
So, the Ivy League boy over there. Except for Dartmouth. They didn't give you shit.
You know, so for us, my father just he was preparing us for the real world. Because between us, the real world is a bitch.
Yeah.
College doesn't prepare you for this shit.
No.
I can speak to some of that too.
Yes.
I think at the end of the day, the things that we could take from that growing up in such a tight-knit, close Middle Eastern household, closer than I'd like it sometimes, and at the end of the day I love it, but it's extremely close, you learn the value of family, and it's those same characteristics and traits and values that we've incorporated into the business. Since day one, hiring our first employee to right now having, 18, 19 people on staff?
I think 22 is on payroll.
22?
22.
I'm more of a numbers guy.
Yeah, we're both numbers guys. but having that, there hasn't been one single time where we treat somebody in a corporate environment, even though there are times that we should. When we bring someone onto the team, it's really, we tell them it's joining the family, and it really truly is. You see them every day, you spend an obscenely unhealthy amount of time with them if you do what we do here. You know, we have our set hours, but a good portion of the staff stays later, comes in earlier, and that's not things that we force down on anybody, that's a culture that
right.
We built. I mean, you see the downstairs offices that we're building. We invest into the environment, we invest into the culture, and we invest into the individuals for a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
If we hire you here, we believe in you, right? And we take that family environment that we've grown up in our whole entire life, and we incorporate that into the best way possible that we can in the workplace.
Yeah.
And I think everybody that has ever been a member of our family or is a member of our family can testify to that fact. And there is no one that I've ever employed that can say otherwise.
Sure.
And that's the only experience that we've had.
What I love about this podcast versus the other ones I've done is we've talked about some real life shit. I mean, it's not just sports, nutrition, and fitness. And I'm kind of caught up in this right now. I like it. So yeah. I want to ask one more real life question before we start talking about 2019 innovation, which you were touching on earlier. But being Middle Eastern in this country, being Middle Eastern this close to New York City, being Middle Eastern CEOs, is it tough? From a personal standpoint, I want to know, and it'd be interesting to share some of that personal experience with our listening audience and viewing audience. Like, is it tough being Middle Eastern in the States?
You know what, honestly, right now it's not, because I've kind of disassociated from doing the day-to-day things that we did in the beginning of the business. But back when we started this initially, when it was just me in the basement, I was doing everything from the B2B sales to CS to everything. I did notice that some individuals, when they saw the name like Mo or Murtaza or how you pronounce my actual name, Murtaza, come across, when I'd email them, sometimes they'd be like, you know, really flagrantly rude and aggressive.
Right.
And you'd be actually surprised living in it was 2016, 17 back then. When you get like a racist response back, it was kind of shocking. But I don't handle the sales, at least B2B anymore. I mean, obviously we act on the higher level and,
right.
and run through it with our sales team. But now it's completely awesome. Like, we never have issues. But I noticed on that like granular day-to-day level, I did initially get some kickback from some individuals. You know, sometimes in the South, sometimes in the Midwest. Wasn't really region specific.
Sometimes even East Coast.
Yeah, sometimes yeah. even East Coast I've had that happen. But growing up, you know, I played lacrosse, I played football, I wrestled, I played a lot of different sports, I was involved in the community a lot. I never really faced racial adversity like that, but I do know a ton of individuals that have, and in the beginning, when I, you know, when we started the business, I did notice some kickback from people.
Right.
And it was, I could probably still pull those emails up.
I think it's because in the beginning, nobody knew who we were, right?
Sure.
And, you know, for a new business to have somebody named Murtaza and Mustafa emailing, I think it was definitely easier for people to be racist.
Mm-hmm.
But now in the past 3 years, we've made really good names for ourselves. We've built a lot of respect for ourselves. I think now people don't care that his name is Murtaza. He calls himself Mo, because it's just a nickname he's had.
Easy.
You know, Mustafa, I don't know what kind of nickname I could have.
Yeah.
I remember some girls back in the day had some pretty funny nicknames. So.
Yeah, cut that out. I'm married. Wife, do not watch. But, you know, it's... I think a lot of people are just unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when people are unhappy, then they resort to racism.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things.
It's just a derogatory term that reflects more upon the individual as a
for sure.
thing. And hey, like, we've had our fair share of no's when trying to enter a new business or when acclimating for a new business. But if you're going to have, like, a totally rude or aggressive racial remark, it just speaks volumes as to who you are.
Right.
And
yeah,
we don't
nothing
let that
to do with us.
Yeah.
It's the person. And, you know, we face so much negativity sometimes even in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kill them with kindness, man.
You yeah.
know, we were raised as gentlemen, and we don't fight people. We don't argue with people. We just kill them with success.
Yep.
And that's our business motto, you know? Like, that's how we roll. We just don't have time for drama.
Yeah. I mean, I think about this industry, and you think of, like, the successful CEOs, the big rising companies. The reason why I ask that question, too, is they're predominantly white, male, right? I mean, it's not too often at all, I don't think. If I'm trying to, like, wrap my head around, you know, two Middle Eastern brothers who are, you know, 7 years apart, built the brand from a basement to what it is today, one of GNC's best-selling brands, one of the best-selling brands direct-to-consumer. Bodybuilding.com, when you guys were once upon a time with them, one of the best-selling brands there too. I mean, you guys have done a really good job of building the brand. And now let's revert our attention as we close out the podcast here in 2019, because 2017, you guys were one of the finalists in our Brand of the Year runner-up. 2018, kind of quiet. Not a ton going on besides, no, sorry, 2018, Brand of the Year runner-up. 2019, in the beginning, not a lot going on because you had some stockout issues, but there's a lot of cool stuff you guys have coming out, and we just, you know, attested to the beginning of the podcast, tried a flavor of something that's coming. Earlier, I tried something that's coming, and we spoke behind closed doors about some really cool stuff coming out. What are you two excited about?
I think I'm excited about everything.
Can I say one thing about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, one thing about that is, yeah, we had an extremely strong second half of 2018, and there were a couple initial struggles in 2019. But those struggles, again, were really defining for us
mm-hmm.
because it shapes where we're going.
Right.
If I could go back and change anything in 2018, I would not. But the issues that we fundamentally had is don't launch a pre-workout or a SKU with 10 different flavors. Because when you sell out and your business is increasing twofold, threefold, be prepared to cash flow three times what you're doing, hire more staff, pay the bills, and be able to grow, you know? That's a big thing about what we've done. We realized all the successes and how to fine-tune them to be better, as well as some of the little failures that we've had,
right.
and major failures to really find and craft where we're going. So yeah, 2019 has been more so a supply-demand
right.
sort of runaround. You know, it's great. We sell out quickly. We have supply chain. We do demand planning, and we've definitely went around how to fix that. And we have imminent solutions that we worked on that we're really grateful for, because they're not everybody's typical solution. But what I can say is that a lot of people say they're going to change the game. I'm confident to say come second half 2019, 2020, I don't think there's any brand that can bring what we're bringing.
I think 2020 is the year of Sparta. And I can confidently say that, because we're literally changing every aspect of the business and fine-tuning it.
Mm-hmm.
I think a real business owner is never content with what they have. They always want to be better and do better.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we're doing here at Sparta. From the flavors, even though our flavors are already top rated, our protein got rated, you know, number one on some. Again, not yours, but
I love this stuff.
I mean, it should be, but yeah.
I'm sarcastic, man.
I love it. I love it. Let's go.
So we've actually made, like, for example, our fruity cereal is delicious.
It's one of my favorite of all time. It is. I will say it on record. Fruity cereal is phenomenal.
But also on the record, we just made it 1,000 times better. And it's, I think it just launched, actually. So the version you can get on our website right now is the new version.
Nice.
And we'll send you out a new tub to try. But from every aspect of the business, social media-wise, we're going to be erasing everything soon. That's one of the things. And we are completely changing the game. No brand has ever done this social approach as we're about to do. Because, again, we don't care what other people do. For a while, we did. And we were doing what other people were doing when it comes to social.
Yeah, I don't think so, but yeah.
I don't think so either, but I think everybody started doing the same type of... What's the saying that we say?
So, I think...
Everybody's recycling the same...
C-minus homework.
C-minus homework. And what we did is, we said, we don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
We want to do what represents ourselves. And what's coming out in the next... Actually, this is coming out next month. So in the next 30 days, you're going to see a whole new social approach from Sparta Nutrition. You're going to see new label designs from Sparta Nutrition. You're going to see us discontinuing some SKUs, some flavors, but also coming out with some new SKUs and flavors and series. You know, Gen Seltzer is already a part of, you know, Sparta Nutrition. A lot of people know about that. Potentially maybe doing something cool with that coming out. And I think the one cool thing that Sparta Nutrition is doing is we're not trying to reinvent the wheel, but we're trying to make the wheel, you know, a lot better,
right,
and more efficient. So we're working on a lot of license deals at the moment too. And, you know, the reason why we're doing this is because Sparta is known for its flavors. We come out with one flavor. We notice, just like any other business, other brands will come out with it, and that's good for them. But we want to do something that protects ourselves, that's unique, because Sparta Nutrition is a unique brand. So that's one of the routes that we're going into. And I'll let Mo say more.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of innovation pipeline, we spent 3 years learning how to lay it out.
Right.
So 3 years with the manifestation and learning experiences have curved the path of where we're going. And I'm excited. You know, we had a huge increase in energy business when the business started. And when we reformed, it obviously was affected. Our protein business is just growing so expeditiously and at such a fast rate.
Right.
It's actually kind of scary, but I love it, you know? We just have so much in the pipeline that is planned and coming, from collaborations to partnerships, distribution, supply chain agreements, vendor relationships, all of these minute details, all of these small granular details that when you add them up, it makes this puzzle picture make sense. And it's kind of like the outside of the box, right, of a puzzle box. You have all these different little pieces all around, and we finally figured out how to put everything together, and we're not ashamed to say that.
Mm-hmm. In
3 years running a brand, never ran a true brand before. Retail and e-com are totally different when you're selling other people's products. But being able to craft what we've crafted within these 3 years and laying out the innovation pipeline with hard hit dates, distribution, the way we've laid it out already, and the partnerships that we have solidified, I mean, it's consistent, it's special, it's innovative, and it's authentic.
Yeah. I think it's cool too, I mean, because you formulate all this stuff, you know, I mean, it's kind of your baby. It's been your baby since day one. Before you went to Big Brother, it was you in the basement, and then obviously family came in and you guys built this massive empire of Sparta Nutrition, which is doing phenomenal. And I'll just say, you know, I was able to see a lot of the stuff that you guys have coming out that I can't talk about. I was able to try some of the stuff that I can't necessarily talk about. You guys should be excited. It's going to be a lot of cool stuff coming for sure.
And I heard Ryan actually say, quote unquote, that some of our stuff is game changer.
I did say the game changing comment. I did.
And he never says that.
I don't. So I'm excited for what you guys have coming. We're obviously going to cover everything at FI. I just want you to like step on the gas and get it out there though. This stuff is exciting. So I'm excited. I know time wise, we'll see it come out second half, and then 2020 will be a big year for you. I'm excited about the Gen Seltzer, the collaboration there, because we talked about, you look at the success of something like Alani Nu over at GNC, and it's an opportunity for this to be a basically a whole family brand. Because for a long time, Spar started as maybe male-centric. The rebrand made it more of all family. Now you have a female representation to be more female-centric with some of the SKUs that you guys potentially come out with. So a lot of really exciting stuff. Give me final takeaway. What's the one thing you're most excited about here as you move into 2019, back half, and 2020?
I think the thing I'm most excited about that we're changing in our company is actually telling people our story. And, you know, Mo might have a different, you know, thing that he's most excited about, but I feel like nobody really knows who we are as owners. We always stay in the background. We're always just working our asses off. But to this day, 3 years later, we have never had a chance to really tell people our story. And that's coming out soon. So I'm most excited about that because, again, this is something that we've been doing for 10 years plus. This is something that we love. It's our passion. And we just love to give consumers the best product and the best flavors. And Mo, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm really, really excited about the branding aspect and kind of where we're taking the exterior of the brand. Being able to have those live Q&As and build a connection with the consumer base that we've built is extremely exciting, from live blogs that we're going to offer to behind the scenes. But for me, at the end of the day, what's the most exciting and what always has been since day one is the product development.
Mm-hmm.
I started in the basement messing around, and still to this day I handle all product development and research and development. We have 3 patents that we are coming out with on our own for branded ingredients that we're bringing out exclusively for Sparta. We have innovative flavor systems that have never been done before. But most importantly, it's what actually constitutes the formula. And we really turned the script around this time for what we're doing. And it's evident in the fat burner that we have coming out, the pre-workout. Each category, we're not going in to be price-centric or margin-centric. We know that, hey, we might not make the most points around on this specific product, but we know damn sure that the consumer is going to try it, and they're going to tell their friends, they're going to tell their family, and I am confident that they're going to come back and buy it again. Our consumer metrics are already incredible in terms of just live visibility and data from the direct-to-consumer end of the business. Our average order value is incredible. Our lifetime value on consumers is phenomenal, but it's more than just marketing terms. It's more than being able to hit a certain number. I mean, that's all great and stuff, but for us, the coolest part is having a formulation that people are excited about, that they're genuinely commenting on their free time to go out of their way, go on social media, go on Google, come and email you or live chat with you or tell you when they use your products, when you walk into a GNC or when you tell them, you know, you have a supplement company, that they love the formulation, that it tells them in some capacity it changes their life. And what I'm most excited about with every single product that we're releasing is that they have such a unique and innovative spin that might not be a game changer to you, but it innovates in the category in a way that's never been done before. And it's so exciting because we know the efficacy. We're putting the dollars where people have never put it before in terms of it costing too high, labels being 10 times the label cost than your average label. Then unique factors that just set the brand apart in such a way that makes it so special and so unique, that the passion that we're talking about from the very soul that we have comes out and you feel it, you taste it, you smell it, and you see it. That's the most exciting part.
The brand experience, the customer experience, you guys are creating that from, and it's funny because these guys both had really good answers on what their favorite thing is or what they're most looking forward to. The truth is they're most looking forward to moving back to the basement, because in the building that we're in, a brand new office space. It's beautiful. You guys will see here on camera. But congratulations, guys. You guys are killing it. I love it. These are one of the first brands to support me at FI. So Mo and I go way back. Finally got to meet these guys in person. It's been a long time coming. This has been great. Appreciate you guys hosting me. Appreciate you coming on the show. Appreciate you telling your story, because like you said, most people probably don't know who you guys are. But here's some light into the lives of Mo and Mustafa, two really hardworking men who have built this brand from nothing, you know? And here we are today. And then next week, there'll be a new office space. So guys,
absolutely.
Love it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, sir. SparNutrition.com. Make sure you check them out. You'll love their stuff.
Guys, that was Mo and Mustafa from Spar Nutrition. Kind of cool story, right? Like if you're watching or listening at home, to understand basically, these are two guys that are super young, doing so well in the industry. You look at Mo. I mean, the dude just turned 22 years old. And you can imagine the kind of money these guys are making behind the brand like Sparta and what they're doing. So very interesting concept. Very cool to talk about what they have coming here in 2019, but very cool to understand their roots and where they come from and what they came from. So give you a better idea of who Mo and Mustafa is, their story, the story behind Sparta Nutrition, why they started Sparta Nutrition, and where they plan on going with the brand. Next week, we have their brother, their older brother, Moby, on the podcast from Olympus Labs. I know we didn't talk a lot about Moby during the podcast here, but these guys, they're family, they love each other, but they have two separate businesses within the same industry. So, you know, it's a friendly competition between the two. I think that they have each other's back. So it's very interesting. You know, when you hear them talk about each other, they all obviously stem from the same household. They're all in the same industry. So it's a very unique family dynamic, but it's cool. I get a chance to call all three of them my friend. And I appreciate Mo and Mustafa taking time to come on the podcast and making time for us here, bringing us into their HQ in Wayne, New Jersey. It's very, very good stuff. So if you guys, again, like the podcast, hit that subscribe button, whether it be on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. Write us a review. It helps with the algorithm so that way more people can discover the Be Informed, Live Fit podcast. Next week, again, Moby from Olympus Labs coming up as we filmed 4 podcasts during the FI Appreciation East Coast Tour. Very excited to bring these all to you guys. So until next time, we appreciate you tuning in. We appreciate you watching, listening, however you got this podcast. Make sure you follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And yeah, we hope you got some information from this. So you be informed, live fit, everybody, and hang loose.